coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Hyundai and Toyota Studios. Rick Cleveland, the big guy's being missed this morning. He's on assignment taking care of some Memorial Day family duties this weekend. Hope that everyone has a safe and blessed Memorial Day weekend. And want to also thank our listeners on WYEA 106.5 in Sylacauga and the Lake on 105.1. And plenty to talk about this morning on the Prep Sports Report is we're going to have plenty of guests lined up. We're going to have Jamie Lee from the Alabama High School Athletic Association coming up in our next segment. He's going to give us the ins and outs of everything that's going on with this pandemic and how it affects high school athletics. We'll have Vince Pitts, who is the athletic director at Thompson High School in Birmingham. Derek Scott, the new head football coach at Foley High School. Nathan McDaniel, the new head football coach at Alberta High School, will be joining us. And a special guest, Marty O'Malley, will be talking to us at about 9:30. There's a huge, huge virtual banquet going on, sponsored by LaArche, that we always look forward to talking to him about each and every year. Joining us in the studios, as always, is my main man, Coach Mark Lassiter. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, buddy. I hope you guys are all doing well. On a this is a little different Saturday. We have a little bit of a better outlook, it looks like, on, you know, the pandemic, as far as being able to. The governor's opened up some things, and high school sports is about to start reopening itself, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But man, I tell you what, when I heard her say that, and I was like, you know, this is what we've been waiting to hear, is to kind of at least head back towards some form of normalcy. So and you know, as us as adults, you know, we have a way we adapt to it, whatever. But our kids, man, they've been cooped up for a while. They're looking, I guarantee it, kids are looking forward to getting back out and getting back to getting outside and doing some things, you know, with their friends and what have you, so long as they remember the social distancing and wearing masks and whatever you need to do, following the guidelines. But to get that step, to head back toward part of some of our normal life, I look forward to that, and I think it's a great thing for our state. And, you know, everybody's got their fingers crossed, of course, that we don't have that second rush of cases and praying there will be no more deaths in this thing and that we can move back toward our regular life.
No doubt about it. Dalton Orwig always produces the show, does a wonderful and outstanding job. Good morning, Dalton.
Hey, morning, fellas. And you knew that as soon as it was announced that high school athletes would be back out on the field, that the temperature would start to rise.
Absolutely.
So we are getting those summer temperatures just in time for them to get out there and start conditioning in the summer heat. Fun stuff.
And no question about it. And if you want to give us your input on how you feel about the pandemic and high school athletics and sports in general starting back up, you can give us a call here at the station, 251-343-0106. We would always love to hear from you. Any input or anybody you want to give a senior shout out to that really did not have an opportunity to complete that spring season, you can always do that, because we've been enjoying doing that here on the Prep Sports Report. And I want to give a shout out to my mom this morning, who always tunes in. Sarah Lynn Andrews, good morning. Thank you for always tuning in to the show. And Carletta, give you a big shout out this morning as well. But you mentioned it, Coach, this week. At first, we thought June 8th was that magic date that high school athletics would be able to continue to return to campus. And then the governor comes in and she makes that announcement and kind of changes and speeds up the process a little bit to June 1st. So you add on that extra week that is given to all the student athletes getting back on campus. I know with school ending across Mobile and Baldwin counties and really across the state, people are all fired up about getting back on campus into the sense of normalcy, even though it's in small groups of 10 at this point in time?
You know, I think that number went to 12, I think is what I saw yesterday. But here's the thing, and just like that, we've had so many people that have told, you know, what's being opened and how it's done, being done. All the coaches are still asking questions. They just want to make sure we get it right. You know, our guidelines about, is it 12 to 1 or 12 to 2, whatever it is? Is it 12 total? Does that mean you can have 10 kids? I think that maybe it could be 10 kids and two coaches or whatever, but those groups are not interchangeable. And so there's a lot of different questions that may go into this, and I know our staff has already started planning how we're going to accomplish the social distancing, follow the guidelines, making sure the kids are hydrated enough in the correct manner, making sure our groups don't interchange, and of course there's always, you know, I think there's screening and testing that a lot of people, I think we all have to go through before we even start or something of that nature. I know the coaches, I think we're all going to be tested before we go or screened. I'm not sure the difference. Yeah, I've heard a lot of different terms. So there's a lot of questions we don't exactly know the right phraseology to put to it to make sure everybody knows exactly what to do. Jamie can probably help us here in a few minutes when he comes on. But at least we have a go-ahead. You know, and I think that's huge. And, you know, we had planned to start on June the 8th, and so we probably will wait until June the 8th at our school. I don't know what Coach Laz, you know, we're all chomping at the bit. We haven't seen our kids in 2 months, so we're all chomping at the bit to get going. But right now, I just don't know, you know. But I tell you what, I'm excited. I think it's fantastic because I was really – back in March, I don't know about y'all, but I was thinking, holy cow, if we don't get a hold of this thing, our world's never going to be the same.
You know, it's one thing to expect college student athletes and professional players to continue to work on their bodies and stay fit and eat healthy while they were out through all this, but how much more difficult is that for the high school athletes? They don't exactly have everyone doesn't have a home gym out back that they can run back to work out in. So I imagine the earlier you can get them in, lifting weights, conditioning, the better off you're going to be coming up this fall, because they haven't had any of those summer programs to this point.
That's true. You know, a lot of kids now are going to get out there and go to work and they're lifting weights, have been doing it all the way along. And then there's a lot of them who haven't. And that's what we kept telling our kids throughout. I said, we're going to know when we get back together who's worked and who hasn't. And so some kids have access to more than others. And that's throughout the country and our state and our communities. Some kids have more than more access to equipment and to things to do than others do. But I think I'm pretty sure that most every coach in our two counties was able to send out stuff for their kids to do, to give them something to do to maintain. Doubtful they're going to get them a whole lot stronger, but at least they can keep their cardio up, a little bit of the strength up, and be able to, when we start back, they won't be too far behind.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation to where, and we will talk to Jamie Lee in the next segment, to where they had to cancel the North-South All-Star Game and the athletic directors and coaches clinics that were going to be scheduled for July in Montgomery. Now everything is really going virtual. The athletic directors and principals AD conference will still take place, but it will be done in a virtual fashion. But when those kids don't get an opportunity to put on that North and South uniforms that are being designed by Future Ones, it really hurts. I mean, because you already lost essentially your junior season if you were a spring sporter, and then you're talking about, well, going into your senior year, you're not able to propel yourself in that senior year. So that part is unfortunate. But we did have Steve Mask being named the head coach of the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game during this pandemic. And I know with Jamie Lee being over the Alabama High School Coaches Association, that he'll be able to kind of give us and fill us in to what that means, taking that role for Steve Mass. But just great to know that starting June 1, that players are able to be back in contact with their coaches on campus and small groups. And that's the biggest thing, the biggest and the most happiest moment for not only the coaches, but for the student athletes, and they'll slowly get back in shape. As Dalton mentioned, the humidity has definitely showed up and showed out today, and I don't think it'll get any less as the summer progresses. Coming up next here on the Prep Sports Report, we'll speak with Jamie Lee of the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, and Philip on the phone lines, taking your phone calls at 251-343-0106. And right now, joining us on the phone lines is Mr. Jamie Lee. He's the director of the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association. And he and his staff and the office with Coach Savarese, they've been doing a wonderful job.
Fantastic.
During this pandemic time, keeping the athletic directors, the principals, and everyone informed of the changes of this pandemic. And we just want to welcome you, Coach, to the Prep Sports Report this morning.
Thank you very much for having me, and we really appreciate you being out there and helping us get the message out, for sure.
Well, you know, we wouldn't have any message if it wasn't for you guys and all your hard work up there, because we have completely relied on you guys, and y'all have just been rock stars through this whole thing on getting the information to all the coaches, and we can then share it with our communities and then know what to do and follow along. And now we're heading into another phase of this. This is the phase that we've all been really kind of excited about getting to. And so just very briefly, Jamie, we know we've got some other questions we're going to ask you, but kind of what have y'all had to do? You and I had talked about the different groups y'all have to talk to about getting and formulating all these ideas and all the things and the plans to go into this. And just give us a brief synopsis of what y'all had to do.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, as you all know, we have an unbelievable leader in Coach Savarese, and his leadership and his wisdom and all the experience he has and the way everybody's character. It's just been unbelievable leading our office and leading our state. And our staff has done a tremendous job of trying to follow his lead along with the guidance of all the other groups. And we have worked extremely hard to try to get the as much information as possible, and using Coach Savarese's word, and try to stay current as well, and not jump out there too far ahead of the curve. And so we've worked very hard with that, and Coach Savarese has done a tremendous job in leading us in that. But you asked the number of groups, and we put all the way back in towards the very end of March when all this started. We put three different groups of coaches together, and have had several virtual calls with those groups of coaches about things that were happening at the time, and then where we would like to be able to go when the time comes, which is now. And along with that group, and along with our medical advisory board and Dr. Robinson and his crew, along with the State Department of Education, Dr. Mackey, those three groups, along with our association, has really worked hard to try to put everything in place to answer the questions we felt like coaches and student athletes and parents would want to know when the time came. And as I told you off the air, it's been such a fluid thing. It changes almost daily, all the way back to, you know, just this past couple of days when the governor came out and basically opened up our state for youth sports now and everything else. And so we have tried to stay on top of that with the help of Dr. Mackey and Dr. Robinson and our medical advisory group and all our groups of coaches.
One of the things that did kind of put a damper on this week was the fact that the North-South All-Star Game was going to be canceled, and that's something that I know a lot of people looked out to, but due to social distancing guidelines and there being crowds of people all in one space, it's something that really had to be looked at. And I know the coaches and athletic directors really looked forward to getting together in Montgomery under one roof and kind of rubbing elbows with one another, seeing all the sports that take place in the week of July, but unfortunately, that event this year will not happen.
Yeah, very disappointed. If there's anything, like you said, that's been a disappointment, it is that. And we've hurt for our student athletes and the coaches that were selected by their peers to lead those respective teams. And then, like you said, all the coaches that come to Montgomery through the course of that week for not only the professional development, but so much of that is just for the social interaction of being with their peers. And that's very difficult for us. But it's the right thing to do at this time. Our number one primary objective was to try to help our coaches develop our student athletes from a physical standpoint and a safety standpoint, to just get them back to where they can be ready to go in hopes of having a normal fall. And when we would meet with our coaches in those virtual calls, the thing that we heard most every call, the majority of those coaches were just figure out a way to get us back with our team. We understand we may not be able to have competition. We understand we may not be able to have those all-star games. But please just get us back with our team so we can start developing the relationships and then get them back in a condition where they're able to be a high school athlete that they're capable of being. I mean, you got to remember that now some of them have probably done something, but in a group setting and having a coach that's led them, they haven't done anything since early March, none of our athletes. And so it's very important to get them back from a physical and a safety standpoint.
You're absolutely correct, Jamie, and that's a big deal. We've had a discussion on our own staff, and I think all the other staffs that I've talked to is the same thing. So you're absolutely right on target there. I wanted to ask you about the biggest question I think all of us have going in. Now, when we start, with kids can start and coaches can start on June the 1st. When that begins on June the 1st, there's a lot of things that go into getting started, and I don't know if – well, I know we don't have time to go over everything, but when the groups come into the area, there's, I think you can have a supervision of one adult per 12 students, and those 12 students have got to have a spacing of, I think, 36 square feet around each one. So you can bring in, you know, more than 12 kids to work out or be running, but they have to be split into groups of 12 with one coach, and then placed in different areas so long as they have enough room to do that. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Like I mentioned, you know, everything seems to have changed. You know, we've all been on sort of the last 3 to 4 weeks been on that path of June the 8th. And then the governor comes back and says, we're going to start on June the 1st. And so much of this is a partnership with the Alabama State Department of Education and their guidelines, because ultimately they – in terms of getting back on school campus, they've got to be able to lead us in that direction. And then the local schools, the local communities have to sort of set their standards and what they're trying to do. So what we tried our best to do was within the parameters of what the State Department of Education, Alabama Department of Public Health were laying out, what can we give you to help you? And so you mentioned the 12-1, and that is really just a ratio for you. So, you know, if you bring in 40 kids, and let's have at least three to four coaches on staff with that 40 kids. But the group size is really unlimited now. It's the ratio. So as long as you can maintain, like you said, that 6 foot physical distance, you know, that 36 foot radius, 6 foot all the way around. If you can, as long as you can maintain that 6 foot physical distancing, you can have as many student athletes in the gym, on the field, whatever that you can possibly do, as long as you have that 12-1 ratio with adult supervision there.
Okay, that's fantastic. I kind of read that and I wasn't sure, but that's that clarifies everything for us. One thing I wanted to ask you that is on there is the screening of kids that will take place every day, and
yes, sir.
And records of that must be kept. Is this correct?
Yes, sir. And that again, that's from our State Department, our medical advisory. Just a recommendation from their end is that you screen all your athletes and coaches as they come in each day. And we've put a couple of samples on our website that we have received. And it's not a firm thing in terms of that sample. You can create that based on your local schools and what your local school might require. You know, some local school systems might require a little more than others, but that was simply a guideline. But yes, we feel like it's important for you to try to screen those student athletes before they get started each and every day.
Jamie Lee, just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your Memorial Day schedule this weekend to join us on the Prep Sports Report and give us a little bit of insight and clarification on this pandemic and how it's ever-changing in part of the office. And again, thank you for your great leadership and look forward to continuing to hear from you and speak with you soon.
Well, guys, thank you so much. I know we could talk for hours on some of the questions everybody has, and we will do our best to try to keep you informed and try to get information out. And like I said, we're going to try to stay current. So these are our current guidelines, and in 2 or 3 weeks it may change, and we may be able to do a little more. We may have to do a little less. It just depends. But we're doing our best to try to stay current. And as always, if you need anything, don't hesitate to reach out to our office, and we'll do our best.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Jamie Lee.
Y'all have a great Memorial Week.
Yeah, you do the same, Coach. Jamie Lee, the director of the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association, joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Vincent Pence joining us next, from athletic director from Thompson High School, here on the Prep Sports Report.
Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Well, I was born in a small town. Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwick, Philip taking your phone calls, 251-343-0106. Want to thank Jamie Lee for kind of giving us an explanation on some of the rules that are being implemented by the AHSAA, the new pandemic rules, and the student athletes going back to getting into conditioning and weightlifting and just the numbers. Because before the show, I thought it was still numbers of 10. And groups of 10 only. And now, as long as they're socially distanced, he gave us clarification on that. But also joining us right now to give us an insight on what's going on at Thompson High School and that great Warriors program that's in Alabaster, Alabama, is the athletic director at Thompson High School, Coach Pitts. Good morning, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Corey. Thank you so much for having me. You didn't tell me I was going to have to follow Jamie Lee. Stuff I have to follow.
Hey, look, he gave us some great information because there were questions that Coach Lassiter and I had that we just did not have the answer to. And I know there's questions that will continue to arise, not only from you, but your coaches on your staffs as well.
Yeah, well, absolutely. This situation, scenario that we've been in is just filled with questions and, you know, but it's been an opportunity to communicate and work the entire time and keep people updated and informed, and we've done that. But, you know, definitely a lot of questions, and that's because the situation is so fluid.
It does. It changes on a daily basis, and how I mention it, I mean, it's just like when I talked to Coach Savarese about a month ago, I said, you'd go ahead and you write things in pencil and make sure you have that jumbo eraser that we used to have in elementary school, because things are going to change, and that's been evident as things have changed, as the governor comes in and goes from June 8th to June 1st to where you can go ahead and proceed and have athletic activities. Coach, I want you to talk to us from an athletic director standpoint. I know that now things have changed from Zoom meetings or virtual meetings. How you've been dealing and how you've been communicating with your coaches, and how your coaches, you've kind of taught them to communicate with their players that way.
Well, you know, for us, the most important thing that we could do was continue to work. And everybody on our staff's done that. For the most part, everybody, a lot of our kids have continued to do that. And, you know, our principal's done that. Our superintendent's done that. And you know, sometimes that can be confused with, you know, just making up work, creating work so that you can feel good about it. Create work. If we needed to meet and communicate and have conversations, we did so. If we didn't, well, we didn't. But, you know, Zoom meetings were very big for us. I know it was a great way for our coaches and players to stay connected, and it was a great way for me to stay connected with our coaches. And we got a lot done. and we were able to be able to plan and stay abreast of information that was coming out, and really just for planning purposes.
No question about it. We're speaking with Vincent Pitts. He's the athletic director at Thompson High School. And earlier this month, Coach, your program was named one of the best athletic programs in the nation in the annual Max Preps Cup. And when you start talking about that and the success of your athletic programs, of course, you look at Thompson's football program winning the state championship, and then you have several other championships, whether it's in boys wrestling, boys bowling. Talk to us about the success of your athletic programs as a whole.
Well, it speaks volumes just to the work that we've done, that our coaches and players and administrators have done. And, you know, it's satisfying to know that it's paid off. And not only were we state champions in men's bowling, men's wrestling, and football, you know, we were state champions in esports. Our wrestling team were the state champions in the duels matches. We were runner-up in women's bowling. And we were runner-up in men's indoor track and field, and I don't think I missed anyone. But when we're discussing just the sheer amount of success, it's easy to forget, you know, who all's won something. But we had a fantastic year, and I don't doubt that if we would have continued our season, we would have had more to celebrate. Our men's soccer team was 13-1. At the time that the season was discontinued, our outdoor track team was primed to make a run in a couple of areas. So just a lot of great things. Our softball team was in a great spot. Our baseball team had a good record at that point. So we were in a great spot. And again, this speaks volumes to everybody's hard work, and we're excited to be in that position. And you know, once you make a list like that, you know, then you got an opportunity to climb that list. So we're excited to get in the top five and get to number one.
No question about that. I mean, this is a school system that's not even 10 years old yet. So you guys have taken and you utilized all the fantastic facilities that Thompson's had. I can't not be more impressed that everything that's on hand and on that campus, and I know you guys are looking forward to getting your student athletes back on campus. And when you said, you know, you never stop working, you've constantly been communicating with your coaches and your coaches with your players in this new era of social technology, but talk to us what it's going to mean to you to actually go back on campus on June 1 and see the student athletes being able to return and get back to doing what they love the most.
Well, it's going to be extremely exciting, and it's going to be enjoyable because, you know, we're going to be able to do things in person and help people, you know, like we were able to do before this happened. You know, we were able to be there daily to help people. The saddest part about it is that we didn't get to do as much or spend the time that you always, you know, Corey, we all get tied up in doing our jobs and working hard, and sometimes we lose sight of the people that we're with and the time that we're spending with the seniors. You know, and you look back and you get to March, or at least I do, you get to March and you say, man, where's the time gone? You know, I really need to savor this time with these seniors. And so you do. You make some adjustments. You spend a lot of time with them. And we didn't get that opportunity. And this was a great group of seniors for us. We've had many great groups of seniors, but we didn't have an opportunity to spend this spring with them, and so that's sad. But we're going to have an opportunity to get back to work to help people. And, you know, a lot of the unintended consequences of being in these situations, you know, you don't realize until you deal with scenarios that are unfortunate. But, you know, just like any school, I think we all have, you know, at-risk populations. And so, you know, it really hits home when you deal with situations where some of your students don't have what they need. And that's not necessary. That doesn't mean that's not necessarily tangible. A lot of our students really need the structure of a classroom. They need the structure of athletics. They need their coaches. They need their teammates. And, you know, when they go on 2 months and they don't have that, it can create some scenarios, you know, that are adverse as it relates to mental health or as it relates to just, you know, scenarios at home. So we're excited to get back. We're going to be able to help people.
You know, Coach, first of all, good to hear your voice, Vince. It's always good to hear you, buddy.
Thank you, Coach.
I wanted to we got about, 2 minutes left? About 3 minutes left. But here's, you know, there's all kinds of people, and I mean, this is just, I'm going to put you on the spot about an idea that we're, you know, I've been trying to think about. Every kid that comes out, whether it's soccer, track and field, cross country, anything they're doing, they're going to all have to be hydrated, football, whatever. Do y'all have any ideas about what y'all are going to do as far as hydration's concerned? You know, you were taking, you know, a lot of the things that we've used in the past, maybe we may not be able to use to hydrate kids at large groups of kids at a practice or at a workout. Do you have any ideas about what y'all might be thinking about doing?
Well, the first thing we're going to do, and a lot of this, okay, all, you know, these ideas, we're going to jump into things on June 1st, and we're not going to have any hiccups. You know, nobody expects that there's not going to be a learning curve. There's certainly going to be a learning curve. And we're part of that learning curve with the rest of the world, really.
Right.
You know, we do have some ideas. We're working through some scenarios. But the most important thing we can do is advise and educate kids for the first few days that, you know, for, you know, we're not using water fountains. We're not, you know, we're not going to have, you know, large congregating areas where water. To have our kids the first couple of days, we want them to bring the water bottle.
Right.
You know, we're going to ask them to do that for the first week or so. Okay. And then we can help supplement that. We'll probably use individual bottled, you know, provisions. Okay. As we have an opportunity to get through that and get through the ordering phase, the procurement, we're going to have an opportunity to get some of those provisions to campus. We can help supplement, you know, so they don't necessarily have to do it every day. We'll be able to help some that, but for the first week or so, our kids can bring their own water, their own, you know, water bottle.
Right.
That's going to help us tremendously cut down on the congregating and you know, just passing water bottles.
That's right.
No question about it, Coach. Just want to thank you so much for giving us your time this morning, giving us your insight, how Thompson and the great program that you have is going to deal with the returning of the student-athletes starting on June 1. So thank you so much for joining us, Coach. And make sure you tell my buddy, Coach Mark Freeman and Drew Powell, I said hello.
Well, look, that's part. Look, I appreciate you guys having me, and that's part of the reason we're ranked as highly as we've got great people and we got great coaches. Where you know those guys, you know what a great they do, and I appreciate y'all for having me. I look forward to every time, and look forward to seeing you guys. You all have a Memorial Day weekend.
You too, buddy.
Thanks, Coach. Take care and enjoy your weekend. Again, Coach Vincent Pence, the athletic director at Thompson High School, joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment this morning. Just want to wish him and his family the best. Big guy, you're always in our prayers. Coach Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwick, Philip on the phone lines, where you can join us calling the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines at 251-343-0106. And just because during this pandemic we have not had any active sports in high school, that doesn't mean that there's not been a lot of moving parts, a lot to talk about, and a lot of changes that have gone on. And we had Jamie Lee in our first segment, and he told us kind of how the Athletic Association was dealing with the changes that were going on with this pandemic. But one of the things that I don't want to get overlooked this week is the fact that Riley Leonard committed to Duke University. And Riley Leonard, a tremendous dual sport athlete from Fairhope High School. He plays quarterback for the Fairhope Pirates, also plays basketball, and does a wonderful job in the demeanor in which he carries himself, and we look forward to having him on the show here in the next couple of weeks. But he decided that he wanted to go ahead and commit to David Cutcliffe and the Duke Blue Devils, and I think that will be a tremendous asset if he continues to hold firm to that verbal commitment.
Absolutely. He's a tremendous athlete, and from all I understand, I don't know Riley except for what I've seen him play, but in talking with Coach Carter, he's just a fine young man. And to go to Duke University, you have to be pretty well-rounded in your educational pursuits. You have to have a pretty good knowledge and a pretty good amount of discipline to do the work you need to do to get to Duke University. It is a school of that has a lot of high standards, if I'm not mistaken, above many with schools in the country. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying that they have their entry requirements are a little higher than most. And so Duke has offered this young man a scholarship, and Riley has accepted the commitment, and so we're hoping that works out for him and what he does at Duke.
You know, for all the schools out there that a quarterback could possibly want to attend, I would imagine Duke University, under the tutelage of David Cutcliffe, if you can't make it into an Alabama or a Clemson or an LSU, that's a pretty good spot to wind up for quarterbacks in particular.
Absolutely. I mean, he's coached David Cutcliffe has coached a few pretty good ones, if I remember correctly.
he has. And that's the thing about it. You know, you look at Riley Leonard again. We love the multiple sport athletes in high school.
Yes.
But, I mean, Riley Leonard averaged 21 points and almost 9 rebounds a game in taking the Fairhope Pirates to their first ever Final Four this past season. So I tell you what, if Coach K is looking for somebody to play a pickup game, Riley Leonard probably wouldn't be a bad guy to turn to, because I guarantee he can give you some buckets if you're Coach K. Now, not saying that he'll go to Duke and play both, but at the same time, I think that if anybody could do it, it would be Riley Leonard.
Yeah, and I wonder what Duke's rules are around that and what Riley's conversations with the school has been, because obviously, you know, so many SEC schools and other schools around the nation, we talk about the football program carrying the rest of the school's athletic programs. It's the opposite at a place like Duke or Kansas, some of these other places that are known as basketball schools. But if he's not able to play two sports, I don't see why Krzyzewski wouldn't have him come out there and maybe work with the scout team, although the Duke scout team probably not that bad in basketball either. But if he wanted to go in and play football, and Duke is one of the schools that offered him, you can't pass that up, because if he keeps progressing and keeps getting good, it's not, you know, the most difficult school to work your way to the top of the depth chart and play some football in front of thousands and thousands of people.
You know, you go from football, a lot of transition in the offseason in high school football, and we'll be talking to Nathan McDaniel here in the next hour, as well as Derek Scott, both in new places in Baldwin County. But again, across the state, Will Mara, the new head football coach at John Carroll, and Hewitt Trustville hired Tom Esslinger to take over its track and field program also. So I think that when you start talking about the moving parts that are going to continue to go on at Chickasaw High School, they'll probably name a head coach this week as well. So you start looking at these coaches who have had to wait all this time during this pandemic to actually meet their players. Now you're looking at, in the next week, they'll be able to have these players on campus in front of them, seeing them for the first time and having an opportunity to kind of get their system in place physically instead of mentally.
Absolutely. And it's fun for me to watch, you know, because teaching and coaching, all of that is kind of like, is almost like our society right now. It's very, always has been very fluid. It has moved and changed from day to day, week to week, year to year, you know, decade to decade. It has changed. The games have changed. Teaching has changed. The teaching just changed in the last couple of months. We saw a huge change that we're going to see more of coming up in the future, of virtual schools and virtual classrooms, things of that nature. I think you're going to start seeing some of that. But I also think that coaches, have a tremendous ability to be able to adapt to change. And I'm looking forward to hearing Derek and Nathan in a few minutes, two tremendous coaches and tremendous people, that how they've had to face something that nobody else has ever had to face, as far as I can remember in modern day history, about taking a job and not being able to see your kids at all. Now, some people have taken a job in July, okay, and not been able to see, they don't know anything about it, so they find out when they get there. This is a little bit different. They've taken the job is already theirs, but they haven't been able to see their kids or worried about, you know, what makes them tick, just to get to know them, because you got to get to know how you can coach every single kid on that field or on that court, whatever it is. And so I'm looking forward to hearing these guys talk about what they've been perceived as their biggest challenges coming up this summer.
And, you know, another aspect of this with the schooling online over the last couple of months, I'm wondering if once we get the kids back to school, back out on campus, what will we see a rise in academic progress eligibility issues with kids that were home, maybe didn't have the access to teachers that have been able to kind of tutor them in a lot of different scenarios in school? Will we see more kids that are maybe ineligible to play this fall because of the way that they had to go through school these last few weeks of spring? Or will the AHSAA and will the Alabama education be a little bit more lenient on some of these guys who maybe weren't able to reach all the requirements they normally would?
You know, I can't speak factually on any of that. I can't tell you this is what's going to happen, but I can tell you that I do believe that because of the vast changes that happened throughout our country and our state, there are some places that were able to get more information to kids than others. And so I think our educational system here in Alabama would be one that they would probably lean toward the more lenient side of the coin to help kids out if they weren't able to get them and they struggle. Some kids can't learn that way. We know that. And so I don't think you're going to see them get penalized for that.
You opened up a can of worms right there with the ADA Act and those student athletes who need other assistance and weren't able to get it. So that's something that we'll definitely have to talk to Coach Savarese and even Mr. Mackey possibly about how they're going to deal with that coming up. Coming up, hour number two of the Prep Sports Report. As mentioned, Nathan McDaniel, Derek Scott, Marty O'Malley coming up in hour number two of the Prep Sports Report.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
This is the day.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment this morning. Just continue to pray for him and his family. Coach Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig running the boards. Philip on the phone lines. 251-343-0106 is how you can join us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. And joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines in hour number two this morning is the new head football coach of the Foley Lions, Derek Scott. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How's it going?
Coach, I'm too blessed to be stressed, my brother. Thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday morning this Memorial Day weekend to join us, Coach. And just want to say congratulations on your new head coaching job. And I know now that you've officially been given the green light to go on June 1st. You're really excited and chomping at the bit to meet those Lions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the date we've been given, and we're working towards that goal of having everyone in on June 1st and getting started and building those relationships. And that's the biggest part right now, is to build those relationships and everybody on the same, get everybody on the same page, rolling in the same direction and get everybody the plan and the vision going forward. So that's where we're at.
Well, Coach, I know you're no stranger to Foley High School. It's a place that you've had an opportunity to coach at before, prior to you getting at Vigor, where you went 41-21 in your five seasons at Vigor. But tell us what intrigued you about the Foley job and that Foley community.
Well, no, I'm no stranger to Foley at all. And the things that really intrigued me is kind of a couple of things, really. The opportunity to coach back at the 7A level, being a head coach, was a strong pull, but it really was more the relationship that had been built in my prior experience at Foley, with the community, with the city, with the administration and staff and teachers and players and everyone that was in the Foley feeder pattern. So that really was a huge pull, and just kind of seeing that some of those things that we had worked for when I was on the staff with Todd Watson and all, seeing some of those things kind of go in a different direction and kind of tugs at your heartstrings some as well.
Coach, congratulations as well. I'm really happy for you, buddy. And just wanted to ask you, as you guys try to get started, what are the things you got to get together to get organized for June the 1st? What are some things y'all are trying to get put together right now to get ready to get started?
Well, hey, Coach, good morning. Yeah, it's as well as I do, when you start getting ready for summer, it's all things that you want to do from a coaching standpoint, from your scheme, from your the things that you want to get accomplished, being ready for those first 3 weeks of the season and kind of developing that plan. But it's been a real change and a real shift in what we're preparing for with the advent of the pandemic, COVID-19. So it has really changed every dynamic which we prepare through. And so we've been meeting for 3 weeks just on protocols and how we're going to handle that. And, the biggest things right now are making sure everyone has facial coverings, making sure we're in groups with those parameters being in smaller groups, making sure we had sanitation stations, which were sanitizer stations before we go in and out of buildings, and having the equipment to properly clean and disinfect after a group has been in. So all those things so our parents could be assured that we're doing the best practices at Foley High School to prepare for their sons and daughters to be on campus.
Coach, you've been a very busy athletic director since you've taken that title. I'm looking at the Foley Athletic Program, and you're looking at, you just named a new baseball coach, Jordan Ebert. He's a former Auburn star, a former Foley Lion, and then you turn around and you have, if I'm not mistaken, a new men's and women's basketball coach on your campus also.
Yes, and well, We can't take 100% credit for Jordan Ebert. He's a Baldwin County high grad, but he was raised in the Foley area with his father, Mike Ebert, who was the baseball coach at Foley at one time. So he has strong Foley ties. But yeah, Jordan was someone that really just kind of, his interview really stuck out for me, was that he had a passion for kids, and that's what we're using as a criteria. One of those criteria when picking coaches for in the Foley Lions athletic program, they got, we really want people to have a passion for kids, a love for kids. It starts there. And schemes and all that are great, and being able to be, the best, schematically and fundamentally sound teams are very, very important. We all agree upon that. But that prerequisite needs to be a genuine love and care for kids. And that really stood out for us. Miss Emily Flanagan is going to take over as the head basketball coach, has the same ingredients in her as well. And those things just really just stood out for us. I know she has been working with Coach Sally Jeter for the last couple of years, and that opportunity we felt like was, that was made before I got there, but the decision was made. But I think that's going to be a great addition as a head coach at Foley High School. And then Jared Gilliland, who's been a long-time assistant in the Daphne High School where Coach Sid Yeldon, has the same deal, has a real passion for kids. And that's the thing that really just kind of shines through. And we're very excited for where we're going with the Foley Athletics. And so, there's been a lot of movement going on, but I hope it's a breath of fresh air. It's some new ideas, new way of doing things. And as you know, sometimes you need just a fresher approach to some things. And so hopefully we're giving that opportunity for our young people at Foley High School and especially those athletes.
I know one of the things that you tapped into or want to tap into is the Foley alums, all the great Foley former players, both men and women who have walked those halls, who have put on those uniforms, just bringing that tradition and that roar back to the crowds in the community also.
Well, absolutely, and that Foley alumni is very diverse, and it's very deep. You know, it's been always been a large school, and so we have a lot of alumni that we may have not have tapped into, and we really want to tap into that alumni, getting them back involved and making sure that we're staying true to the traditions and the traditions of the past and adhering to them. We're also bringing in a new fresh approach, but also recognizing and having an embodiment of the traditions of the past.
You mentioned opening up in 7A football. Talk to us about the new alignment. I know you're very familiar with 5A football, but like you said, being at the Mecca in 7A, there's no slouches each and every week.
Oh, no, none at all. 7A football is very, very competitive from the very top to the very bottom, and it's always going to be that way. It was designed for that. It was designed with that in mind. So we have to really get going and get ourselves in a position to get to the point where we can compete in 7A football, and especially Region 1, which is a very tough region throughout the state. And so very good teams in there. So we have our hands cut out, our work cut out for more or less our hands full. So we got a lot of work to do, and we realize and recognize we have a short time to get prepared to do that.
Coach, who do y'all open up with this year?
We open up with Robertsdale week one, week zero.
I got you.
Week zero will be Robertsdale. Then you turn around and you have your first home game against Murphy. So I know you're looking forward to that, Coach. And just want to, again, congratulate you on the job, on the new job at Foley High School, and just congratulate you for what a wonderful job you did in your time at Vigor High School. And I know you're looking forward to new and bigger and better challenges there at Foley High School, and you'll do a wonderful job, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Well, thank you so much, Corey and Coach, and thank you for having me on, but also just thank you for what you do for high school athletics year in and year out. And it's a great platform, and it's truly a blessing to have people that care about high school athletics and these young people and what they're doing on a week-to-week basis and a year-to-year basis. So thank you much, and I can't wait to get started. Go Lions.
We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, man.
Kind words being spoken by a great man, head football coach and athletic director of Foley High School, Derek Scott, joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. And he's going to do a phenomenal job, and he's going to try to turn and right that ship. And I think that, you know, the only place that Foley can go is up from where they've been. Not to say Coach Niblett did a bad job, but I think that, like you said, that breath of fresh air, the new energy that he's going to instill, all the new coaches that will be on campus this fall, Foley High School is going to bring back the roar. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwig, Philip taking your phone calls on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines at 251-343-0106. And joining us now is David. David, good morning.
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
We're doing good. We just kind of had to slow things down and cut our inventory down a little bit and just kind of watch what's going on and, like everybody else, figure out the new economy, I guess, we got going.
That's right. What are y'all doing with the party bus?
Well, unfortunately, they've been sitting here idle.
Right.
Due to the social distancing and everything, if you knew how many graduation and prom parties we had to cancel.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I'm telling you, it'd make you cry.
I can imagine, brother.
I can, but things are picking up. I think they got some parties booked coming in the near future. But now the graduations kind of see a little light at the end of the tunnel. So I believe they are booking parties. So if people want to get their senior, you know, with a group of their friends, I think it can be done.
Awesome.
Especially on that big bus.
That's right.
plenty of room, especially for a weekend like this or upcoming summer vacations. Tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
So we have premierpartybus.net, and then we also have our car lot and finance company, which is CNC Financial And that website is cncfinancialautosales.com. You can always come see us here at 3150 Moffett Road, or give us a call at 251-338-9019.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it. And go out and see CNC Financial and Auto Sales, to where he'll definitely finance you and get you the best deal available. Switching back to high school athletics again, wouldn't be possible without the great sponsors. This show would not be. So I want to thank David for always supporting high school athletics and listening to the show weekly. But somebody who's passionate about sports is going to get an opportunity on June 1 to put his new stamp on his new football program. Nathan McDaniel, who is the new head football coach at Alberta. Coach, good morning and congratulations.
Coy, my brother, it's good to see you this morning, or talk to you this morning, I should say. And thank you very much, man. We're excited.
You know, Coach, they don't want to see us. That's why we on radio.
What's up, Coach? Man, you can spend any time you want to together, brother.
You doing okay, buddy? It's good
man,
to hear your
I'm
voice.
Man, I'm doing well, man. Too blessed to complain. And it's a beautiful morning outside, and it's going to enjoy a great weekend. So everything is well.
Absolutely.
We love to hear that, Coach. This couple of weeks ago, you were officially named the new head football coach at Alberta High School, as well as the athletic director. And we've talked to some coaches earlier this morning and had Jamie Lee on. Talk to us about the new challenges that are being presented, not only for you as a new head football coach meeting your players for the first time in person on June 1, but also as an athletic director making sure that all your different sports and all your coaches and your players understand the new guidelines that are being put in place.
Yeah, well, you know, as crazy of a time as it is, we're so blessed and fortunate that even though we can't see each other and we haven't met each other, but we have so many options with technology that we've been able to get face-to-face with each other. And so we've got a lot of kids that I've never met, but we've had, you know, a couple of team meetings already over Google Classroom, and we're able to upload install videos and upload virtual workouts. And so it's like I already know the kids is what it feels like. And obviously I can't wait to meet them face-to-face. But, you know, the communication with the coaches have been there. The communication with the kids have been there. But definitely it's going to be a tremendous challenge. You know, I think everybody's kind of in the same boat right now. I've said it in a couple more interviews. I think if everything were as normal and people would have had a regular spring practice and this, that, and other, that taking a job on May the 16th or 20th or whenever I took it, you know, that may have been a little crazy. But, you know, the playing field is kind of leveled right now because nobody's seeing their kids. So nobody had a spring practice. And so that opportunity, when it presented itself, I said, let's do it. And so, but there's definitely some unique challenges. And, you know, with the AHSAA pushing it up a week and saying we can come June 1st, there's just a lot to do in a short amount of time. You know, we had this elaborate plan of figuring out how to bring them in 9 plus 1 coach at a time and separating them and this, that, and other. And now they're saying you can do whatever you want to do, basically, as long as you maintain social distancing. So it's definitely some unique challenges, but you know what? The figuring out problems is what we're paid to do, and we'll do that. So I'm excited to get the kids in and kind of see where we're going to go from here.
Coach, what do y'all foresee, like, the first couple of weeks as you kind of And that first week for everybody is going to be a trial and error thing, you know, and
sure,
trying to figure out what, you know, because we know, I don't know about anybody else, I know that when I have a plan put in place that I've never done before, I've usually forgotten something. And so I got to figure out a way to make it work. But kind of what are y'all ideas about getting started, you know, and how you do your screening and things like that, and how y'all going to kind of get that started that first week?
Well, a lot of that is going to be passed down from the county itself. We actually had an athletic director meeting the other morning, and they're talking about, you know, temperature checks for every kid that comes in. We're actually going to receive training next week for that. We have to check every athlete that comes on campus. Hand washing stations everywhere you turn, this, that, and other. So there's a lot of protocols that we're going to have to follow in order to keep safe, and rightfully so. Our ultimate goal is to keep the kids safe.
Right.
That's what we want to do.
Right.
But, you know, as far as the football goes, you hope the kids are doing something, you know, while they've been out of school. You hope they've been working out. The good thing about our kids in Alberta is a lot of those kids work. And so, you know, they've been doing something. But you know, we're also not naive to know that the kids are, you know, a lot of them aren't doing anything. That's just kids in general.
Right.
And so you have to be real careful when you get them back out that you don't overdo it. You know, you kind of got to eat, you know, we're ripping and roaring to get into ball and get helmets on and get ready to go. But you have to know where the kids are at. And again, if safety is our first priority in protecting the kids, you have to gradually ease them back into it. So those first couple of weeks are going to be trial and error, man. It's really just getting them back in the weight room and getting them in shape and getting them ready to go so that eventually we can put those helmets back on and get the football.
Coach, I have about 3 minutes left with you. Alberta jumping from a 1A program to a 5A program. I know that's something that a lot of schools and programs don't have to deal with, but I know you're ready to take on that challenge.
Yeah, you know, you see it all the time. Programs jump from, 1A to 2A or 2A to 3A. And, hey, we just dove right in and went from 1A to 5A and said, let's go. And that's okay. You know, it's one of those deals where the school, and to me it's a good problem because that means the school's growing. And there's a lot. I mean, I think we've got 750 kids in the school now, and I fully expect for it to grow even more and be a 6A by the next reclassification. So Alberta's a growing area, and there's great people down there, man. Everybody that I've been able to meet so far, with the limited people that you can meet, but man, they've been wonderful. Like I said, it's just one of those deals where Alberta's always had good football players. They're not unaccustomed to playing big time football. If you remember, Alberta fed into Foley, and so they're used to playing that level of competition. So we've got some work to do, but I don't think we're going to be that far away as one would think.
And that's a blessing, Coach. Got about a minute left with you. The facility upgrades have continued to be included for Alberta as well.
Oh, yeah.
You get new visitors stands as well as you look at the new locker room and new weight room. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, we're trying to do all of that stuff right there. And a lot of that stuff, you know, I can't take credit for that. Some of that was done before me. We're just kind of picking up where that left off. And, you know, the plan is to eventually get homeside bleachers in the next year or so. Unless I can talk somebody into doing it this year. But obviously, man, starting a program from ground zero, there's a lot that's got to be done. But, man, what a fun project. You know what I mean? To build something the way you want it built and to establish the culture the way you want it established. There's a lot of great things going on at Alberta High School, and it's not going to be the new kid on the block for too much longer.
You're right, Coach, and I can hear the excitement in your voice, and I'm looking forward to seeing what your stamp looks like when you put it in, because I know it's going to be one of that is kids come first, and that's always
Absolutely.
Been your life. That's the way you've taught and coached ever since I've known you, and I appreciate the way you do that, and I appreciate the message you send to kids every day of your life, and we just look forward to watching you and wishing you the very best of luck, pal.
Thank you, brother. It's all about the kids. It always be, will always be all about the kids. And man, God's so good to us, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. Thank you guys for all you do for high school sports. Man, you're a blessing.
Thank you so much, Coach McDaniel. God bless you, and take care, brother.
We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir.
Nathan McDaniel, the new head football coach at Alberta. Marty O'Malley coming up next right here on the Prep Sports Report.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty. I remember.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LaBounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig joining you this morning. And now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines is special guest Marty O'Malley. And Marty joins us a couple of times every year, but especially around this time because there's a special event that's being held. It's the 26th annual Larch Football Preview, and normally it's a banquet that's being held at the Mitchell Center around this time of year, but because of the pandemic, things changed a little bit. And to tell us about how things changed and the spectacular lineup of guests that will be available virtually online is Marty O'Malley. Good morning.
Good morning, Corey. I hope you and Coach are doing well, and thanks for having me on this morning.
thank you so much for joining us. Anytime this time of year starts to get to us, I know everyone looks forward to meeting at the Mitchell Center to see what type of guests you have lined up. But this year, you're doing it a little bit differently. It's going to be May 28th, this coming Thursday, from 7 to 8:30 Central Time. You have a great list of speakers that will be available for everyone to tune in and listen to. Tell us about your guest lineup.
Yeah, so Corey, like every year for the last 25 years, we started this process of gathering our speakers, and in January we were formulating our list and getting confirmations, and then early March our committee, we started looking and saying, we don't think this is going to work, just not knowing what the future is going to hold with the COVID. So we came up with this crazy idea of let's contact various coaches and analysts in the college football world and see if they'd be willing to do a little short videos on college football, on leadership, and what it means to be living in today's world. And lo and behold, we have 16 people that have agreed, five SEC coaches, three other head coaches, ESPN analysts, and really it's an all-star lineup, and we're very excited, Corey. This year, obviously it's a free event. We felt like as an organization, we wanted to give back to the community, and this was one way that we could, in the sense of providing entertainment for people that's current. A lot of stuff on sports, as we all know, it's all taped. And so this would be one of the beginning current events that hopefully will have a wide reach.
7 to 8:30 this Thursday, and you talked about sometimes is your glass half empty or half full. It's a blessing in disguise if you ask me, because when you start to look at your lineup, Dave Aranda, who's the head football coach at Baylor, Todd Blackledge, Steve Campbell from South Alabama, Reese Davis, Brent Dierman, the Kansas offensive coordinator, Kevin Elko, Clay Helton, who's USC's head football coach, Mike Leach, Ivan Manziel, Gus Malzahn, Chuck Oliver, Jeremy Pruitt, Nick Saban, Phil Savage, Willie Slater, and Kirby Smart. All these superstar names, superstar coaches, and sports personalities would not have been able to join us at the Mitchell Center at one time. We'd be lucky to get two or three of them to speak, but now from 7 to 8:30 on this Thursday, you get all these wonderful speakers having an opportunity to promote L'Arche.
Yeah, that's right, and it's going to be on YouTube, which I'm sure you can post on your website. We have it posted on our website, which is larchmobile.org. As you know, Corey, L'Arche is we're an organization where people with and without intellectual disabilities share life together, and we started this football dinner 26 years ago for two reasons. One, to expand and share the mission of what L'Arche is, and two is to raise money. We've been very, very fortunate over the years to have great people attend, and most of the people on our lineup this year have a relationship with us. They've been to our dinner in some capacity over the years. So we're grateful of that extension of the relationship. The other component is that the football dinner has been a way for us to raise money, and obviously this year we have to come up with different ways. So we're fortunate that we've had sponsors step up, and I've even had a couple people call me wanting to buy tables. And it's like, you understand that we're not doing a dinner this year, that your table will be in your living room. But people, because of the relationship with us, they're very open and willing to contribute.
I would like for you to give that website on where people can go and learn more about L'Arche. And again, we definitely will post it not only to our station's Facebook page and Twitter handle. We'll go ahead and we'll promote that social media wise, so everybody who wants to tune in on this Thursday evening can do so.
Yeah, it's larchmobile.org. It's LARCHEmobile.org. And my hope is that we max out YouTube on Thursday night, since we have a wide range of speakers from throughout the United States. So this local event, which has been very successful for the past 25 years, this year will be a national event, and we're hoping that it reaches a wide audience who
who not only will be entertained by the leading people in college football, but also we get a little glimpse of what Larche Mobile is about.
You know, I think that's a fantastic idea. And this organization is so important to so many people. You know, a lot of people, they hear all the college coaches and things, they think, well, this is what that's about. But in reality, it's about folks who have problems in their life. And the way y'all help them is a marvelous thing. And thank y'all for what you do.
Well, thank you. And we can't be successful without all the support. And it's from the neighbor next door to our board people, to our committee people, and to all the guest speakers who have participated over the last 25 years.
And again, just a phenomenal lineup this Thursday on YouTube from 7 to 8:30. You've seen during this pandemic, a lot of coaches have gone virtual and reached out to other high school coaches in coaching clinics. And again, you've seen these Instagram battles to where you've had superstar R&B or rappers get together to try to break Instagram and have over 700,000 people view it. I hope the same thing can be said for this wonderful, wonderful event that you guys have. Again, this is the 26th annual. This time it will be virtual Larche Football Banquet, and I think it's a great lineup from 7 to 8:30. Marty O'Malley, how can people reach your office if they are not able to log in and get on the internet? They want to call your office or contact your office and let people know where it's located as well.
Yeah, so our number in Mobile, it's 251-438-2094. But it's really easy getting to our website, and the YouTube link is right there, which, you know, I'd tell you what the YouTube link is, Corey, but I'd probably stumble around with all those letters and numbers and all that.
So understand.
One of the things that we decided not to do this year, which was really a difficulty for us, we, as you know, Coach, we honor local coaches every year, high school coaches.
Yes.
And so this year we felt the reason that we do that is to bring coaches to the forefront. And we felt like since we didn't know who the audience was going to be this year, that we didn't feel it would be doing justice. So our intent is next year that we'll bring back our annual High School Coaches Award.
Well, that's a wonderful thing. I want you to know that award is very near and dear to my heart, and I won't ever forget that, and I appreciate y'all doing that for all the coaches in our area.
Marty O'Malley, again, this Thursday from 7 to 8:30, you can check out our links. I'll go ahead and put it on my social media page as well as the Prep Sports Report Facebook page to where you can go ahead and you can listen to over 16 world-renowned, some of the best, I guess, sports coaches, college football coaches, as well as analysts in the country. You'll be able to hear how they're dealing with the pandemic and the 5 to 10 minute video presentation that they'll be doing in order to go ahead and continue the tradition of this Larche banquet. So thank you very much, Marty, for all that you do for the community, and thank you for always reaching out.
I appreciate it, Corey. I appreciate you having me on, and I hope y'all continue to stay safe, and look forward to having you tune in on Thursday night.
That's right.
No doubt about it, Martin. Also look forward to, in November, sitting elbow to elbow with you, not having to worry about COVID-19 anymore when you're keeping the books for McGill Tulin.
Well, hopefully he'll have me back. I'm happy to do that. So,
no question about it. Marty O'Malley, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Again, the 26th annual Larche Football Preview Banquet this Thursday will be available on YouTube. Dave Aranda, Todd Blackledge, Steve Campbell, Reese Davis, Brent Dearman, Kevin Elko, Clay Helton, Mike Leach, Ivan Manziel, Gus Malzahn, Chuck Oliver, Jeremy Pruitt, Nick Saban, Phil Savage, Willie Slater, and Kirby Smart, all scheduled to be a part of that YouTube video. So again, that's just a tremendous event. I encourage everyone to watch it. Again, like you said, break YouTube because it is free. And I don't think there's another event to where you can get that many coaches and guest speakers free of charge to sit and enjoy.
No, no way. And I'm specifically, and I know you guys are too, ready to hear from the head coach of the Tennessee Vols, Jeremy Pruitt. I'm thinking we can get an eye off between him and Nick Saban. I'm going to have the counter that I normally use for my strokes out on the course and see who says the most eights on the line in 5 to 10 minutes. How many can they get in? Because I think they'll both be dropping them all over the place.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the favorites. They do it so smooth, like. But again, just a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for you to get really enthusiastic about the upcoming season for these particular coaches and get their insights free of charge. Nowhere else you can do that, and all of it's for LaArche, and Marty O'Malley has continued the tradition, doing a wonderful job.
And we did we shared that link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. But if on Thursday night you didn't have enough time to find the link, all you have to do, go to YouTube and search LaArche, L-A-R-C-H-E, search LaArche Mobile, and it should populate with that stream. You click on that, and then you're watching this live with so many great coaches.
I hope all of our listeners and folks out there will be able to take and share this. If you have a Facebook page or you have a Twitter page, put it out there. Let other people know outside of our area, and I'm going to send it out to friends of mine across the state and see if we can't get people ought to want to listen to all these different coaches and analysts speak. It ought to be a lot of fun.
That's why they call it the World Wide Web. You have an opportunity to reach everyone. Coming up next, our favorite segment of the Prep Sports Report, the Camp Grace segment. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Memorial Day weekend. It's quite a weekend, and you know, and everybody has a lot of ideas about Memorial Day weekend, as it's, you know, unofficially the first day of summer. It's the celebration of that, yada yada yada, and it is that, and we should welcome that, especially in these times that we've got today. But the essence of Memorial Day is remembering our fallen soldiers, whether they fell in battle or they have passed away since they served our country. That's what this is about. And as I thought about this week, I thought about a scripture verse that I think says a lot about Memorial Day, the pandemic, about our society. And it's a soldier's prayer. It's Psalms 91. O Lord Most High, help me to dwell in your secret place and abide under your shadow. Help me to believe and say out loud for everyone to hear that you are my refuge and my fortress, that you are my God, and that in you I put my trust, Lord God Almighty. Please deliver me from my hidden traps and diseases. Father God, cover me with your camouflage, hide me under your wings, and let your truth be my shield and buckler against the fiery darts, the lies of the enemy. Lord Jesus, help me not be afraid of terrorist attacks in the night, or weapons that fly by day, or sickness that walk in darkness, or destruction that waste at noonday. O holy God, though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 fall at my right hand, please let it not come to close to me and my companions. O Lord Most High, let me live to see the reward of the wicked, because you are my refuge and my home. Let no evil conquer me, and let no plague come into my house or near my family. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, please set angels over me in all your ways to bear up in their hands and keep my feet from stumbling. Father God, help me to tread upon the lion and adder and trample the young lion and the dragon under my feet. Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart, and I know your name. Deliver me and lift me on high to soar with eagles. I call upon you with me in times of trouble to deliver and honor me because I know your name. Please show me your salvation and satisfy me with a long life as I ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A soldier's prayer, something that will resonate in my heart as I think about friends of mine who are veterans that are still alive and some that have passed on and joined our Lord and Savior in heaven. You know, last night, it's kind of ironic that I was getting ready to go to bed, and my youngest son, Bryant, comes into the room, and he goes, "Dad, have you seen that movie, Saving Private Ryan?" And I said, "Yeah, I saw it, you know, when it first came out years ago." I said, "It's a very touching movie." And he goes, "Dad, how did those men have the courage to stand in the back of that boat or whatever it was, that barge that was taking them to the beach, and when it dropped down, bullets just erased the first, you know, several of them? How did they have that courage?" He goes, "I don't understand that." And I was like, "Brian, I don't either. I don't either. How did those men have the courage to go into a situation where they knew death was imminent? It was at every turn." And it has been that way throughout all of the wars that men have fought. You can think about the Civil War. I watched the movie The Patriot the other night, and you know how they're out in a field, and one line comes up, and they pull up their guns, and they shoot into the other, and several people fall. The next line steps up, and while they reload, the enemy shoots back, and several of those. So everybody knows that death can be imminent. It can be right there. It's over. You know, it's not a video game. It is not something we watch on TV. It is real when those men go into battle. How they have that courage, how those women have that courage, I don't know if I know. I don't know if I don't know if my internal makeup is made that way. How do they go into those types of situations knowing that death could come at any moment? So as I think about our veterans that have fallen in battle, I think about those men that I've read about in 17 at the Battle of the Somme in France, in trench warfare, where they said that there were so many people killed in that battle that lasted for months, that bodies that were in laying across the barbed wire and in the area known as no man's land between the trenches, that their bodies were ground into hamburger meat. That there were so many bullets in the air. One soldier from Germany said there were so many bullets in the air, and when we were told to rise up and go, the bullets going over the top of the trench I was in sounded like the wind blowing. What kind of courage do you have to have, or what kind of fear? What is it that makes you rise up and go into that battle? And so for that reason, as I think about the courage of those men and women, who, whether they fought on the front line or whether they cooked dinner for the ones who did, or whether they stitched people up when they were hurt, I think about the people today in our country who are facing another war that we've been fighting on our own home front. Our doctors and nurses, first responders, how they have the courage to face death could be imminent at any step. So on Memorial Day, I think about these things, and I think about the world I live in. And yes, it has so many fallacies and so many problems, but at the end of the day, I can hold true to some truths in mind that my God is my fortress and my strength. That is the only thing I can think of that men who stormed the beach at Normandy, men who fought in the trenches in World War I and World War II, those who fought in the jungles of Africa and in Korea, those men who have had to go into Afghanistan and Iraq, all the places we have fought, who've had to fight the cartels in Panama and South America, they had the strength and the fortress of our God Almighty to take that step and face death as it came at them head on. Thank you to those men and women. Thank you to their families who sacrificed so much to give us the ability to ride our boats out this afternoon into the bay or into the Gulf, go fishing, visiting people, and celebrate this freedom that we have in the United States of America. We're a very fortunate people.
Thank you very much. Very well said, Coach. Thank you to our guests, Jamie Lee, Vincent Pitts, Derek Scott, Nathan McDaniel, and Marty O'Malley. It's been a great 2 hours right here on the Prep Sports Report. Look forward to talking to you again next week.